You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, the number one daily national baseball podcast. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on the 18th day of February, 2020. And we'll be covering lots of topics, including responsibility, including honesty, including being full of it, which is the entire landscape of Major League Baseball as it constitutes here in the middle of February 2020. Hey, this podcast is available on the free and easy-to-use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Player FM, all the places you get podcasts. You know how to listen to a podcast. You're listening to one right now. Maybe you're on the live site. Maybe you're on the site, which is LockedOnMLB.com. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast LockedOnMLB. Then please, both hands on the steering wheel. I don't want any accidents. You can check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, where it really is your team every day. Your pal Sully's been a guest on a bunch of them, and you can listen to them. Listen to Gabrielle on Locked On Red Sox. Listen to Stacey Gatsoulias on Locked On Yankees. Listen to Jeff Carr on Locked On Reds. Are you detecting a pattern here? My buddy Javier, where is he? He's at Locked On Padres. My buddy AJ, where is she? She's on Locked On Blue Jays. We've got every team lined up. We've got a new Locked On Tigers podcast. Things are good. Things are good. Hey, you want to follow us on Instagram and on Twitter? Look us up at Locked On MLB. I'm your pal Sully. I'm at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. I realized something. I'm doing five of these a week now. I may have to do five of these a day. I may have to do five 20-minute podcasts a day. That's the way the news cycle has been going on. I did one on Sunday thinking, there's my Monday podcast. I'm all set. I can just sit back and relax. And by 3 o'clock in the afternoon, dams had exploded, Hindenburg's had blown up, and I'm like, that's the top story of the day. Oh, God, my podcast is already obsolete. It's not even Monday yet. I did mine before Rob Manfred said, hey, this foot tastes delicious. I think I'll continue putting it further in my mouth. So let's just go over this because it is a fecal matter show, and I do not want an explicit rating. And so, a lot of people are breaking down the Rob Manfred press conference, which is basically, 45 minutes of him going, blah, 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 blah. That's what it was. I've read the transcript, it's blah, 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 I don't know, go away, let's talk about something else. The commissioner of baseball. I mean, I've been saying, hey, I'd like to be the commissioner of baseball. I do it kind of jokingly. Now, this is an emergency. We need an emergency ballot. Your pal Sully needs to be there. Prerequisite to becoming the commissioner of baseball. First question, do you like baseball? If you check no, move to Ed where we say you are not in charge of baseball. I don't like jazz. I didn't say jazz is bad. It's not my thing. Jazz is not my thing. If there was a role of commissioner of jazz, I'd be a terrible person. Get someone who likes jazz. Rob Manfred very clearly hates baseball. I want to love one thing in my life as much as Rob Manfred hates baseball. And he's in charge. He is the car keys. A man who, when he was asked about the Astros and like vacating the title or what should they do for punishment, he was saying, well, the embarrassment of what happened and the fact that they have to answer questions about these is punishment enough. Really? Is that how it works? Is that how it works? I have a special guest here on Locked On MLB. I've had baseball players on. I've had writers. I've had other podcasters. I've had broadcasters. But this is a special booking, and we took a lot of time to book them. These are my sons. My son Maddie, say hello to the folks.
Hello.
And it's my son Aiden.
Hey, how you doing?
Yes, they're clearly both future podcasters. Now, let me ask you a question, guys. Be on the same side. They're flanking me. Be on the same side. On the same side. So do you understand what the same side is? My goodness, these kids are in high school. And on the same side. Okay, thank you. Good Lord. All right. Have you guys ever gotten in trouble with me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you've gotten in trouble, have I taken the attitude of, well, the fact that you've been caught, that's punishment enough?
No, you haven't. That'd be very lucky for us.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And you made my point. The Astros would feel really lucky. Like, hey, we just got caught in, we're in Paris. Yeah, oh, we'll totally not do it again. We won the World Series and made millions of dollars. And our punishment is people are going, you did what? Oh, Astros. Now, another thing Manfred said, I didn't realize it was my job just to punish the Astros. Well, so no, granted, on his job description, line 17 is, you have to punish the Astros. But there is an understanding that if you are in a role of authority, and like I am over you, for the next few years, I still have a role of authority over you. Once you leave home, that's it, you're in charge. But from now on, you know, for the time being, I'm your daddy. I'm your pappy. And so I understood when I found out I was going to become a father that part of the contract, it isn't all just going to be, oh, let's watch Thomas the Tank Engine. I'm going to play with your teddy bear. Give me a hug. You love me. I love you. Let's go skip. Right?
I've never seen you skip before.
Well, I may skip later. But the point I'm making is I know the part of the contract is when you guys mess up, there has to be, you guys have to be held accountable, and there's a punishment. It's the way my dad did it, the way I'm doing with you, if you guys become father. Now, whether or not you do it the same way, there's a punishment. You guys did that, and this is the consequence. It's not, you guys did that. Why you?
Like a cartoon villain.
Right. This, yeah, you, if you're in a position of authority, you've got to understand this part of it. Like, when I'm teaching the kids in the classroom I work at, if one of the kids messes up, I can't go like, Greg, oh, Greg. No, there has to be consequences. And I know that going in. Is this crazy talk?
No, not one bit.
Not one bit. So Rob Manfred knows going into the gig that if you're the commissioner of baseball, one of the jobs is if someone breaks the rules, you've got to enforce the rules. Not like, well, they found out, and the embarrassment is the worst enough. What kind of deterrent is that? Like, oh, you robbed that bank, and oh, boy, everybody's going to call you a bank robber from now on, folks. That's enough of a punishment for me. In fact, I think he's going to feel badly spending the money that he robbed. Oh, boy, well, I'm going to shake my head strongly at you. The other thing he said was, when we're bringing up the idea of one of the possible, and I was vehemently against this originally, but now this has been dragging on, this whole cheating scandal. The Astros cheated to win the 2017 World Series. They were caught cheating. And there are some people saying, like, hey, maybe the punishment should be they can't call themselves the champion. They just say there was no champion this year. That could be a punishment. And I was against that initially because I was like, you're going to be pulling at that string. It'll unravel the whole sweater. But the Astros have been so stupid. I'll get to them in the future. I'm starting to think, like, hey, we need a real deterrent for this. And the commissioner of baseball said, like, well, all this trouble over bringing back just a couple of pieces of metal, meaning the trophy and the World Series rings. Is it really worth it over a bunch of pieces of metal? I mean, you understand that
it's the principle.
Exactly! My son, Maddie, just said it's the principle. And you don't even follow baseball, and you get this. It's like when I got my master's degree at Washington State, it's like, well, it's just a piece of paper. I can just print out a piece of paper. I can print out a piece of paper saying, I'm the king of Saturn. There you go. It's just a piece of paper. No, you have to earn that piece. Yeah, it's a piece of metal, but it's not like they went to the junkyard. He said, oh, there's a hubcap. Jose Altuve can have this hubcap. Justin Verlander, you can have a rearview mirror. No, it's a World Series ring. Yeah, it's symbolic, but it's also something you earn.
Wait, they actually give the rings out?
Say that again?
They give rings out?
They give rings out.
Sauron would like that.
Oh, look, there you go. There's Sauron. They're like, all this trouble is just a piece of gold. I could get it anywhere. No, it's a ring. All right, that ring is a little more powerful. But you know what? I don't know. I've never held a World Series ring. I maybe if I ever get, you know, invited over to Sean Doolittle's apartment again, I may ask to see his World Series ring. Put it on my finger, I could disappear and be obsessed. I don't know. I could turn into Smeagol. But that's not the point. If you're the commissioner of baseball, you should understand the significance of a World Series ring. Is not just, that's a little piece of metal. If it's just a little piece of metal, then what's the big deal of asking for him back? He's asking like it's a piece of chalk in front of, okay, you write your name on the chalkboard, hand back the chalk. I'm sorry, I just dated myself. With, now, you use the dry eraser pen on the whiteboard. All right.
You know, we use holograms now.
Yeah, at this point, do you? I don't even know. We don't use holograms in our school, do you?
No, a hologram wouldn't work in a bright classroom for the same reason that you can't, like, put a projector on a bright surface.
You see what you learn? And I guarantee Rob Manfred doesn't know that. But then there's another aspect I want to bring up. Carlos Correa and Jose Altuve are in the news. They were two of the star players when the Astros beat the Dodgers in the World Series the year that we found out they were cheating. And there's no reason to think that they didn't also cheat the next 2 years because they weren't caught. No one says, hey, you know that thing we did? Yeah. Yeah, that thing we did. It worked. We won the World Series. Okay, well, let's not do that again. Some of the players were trying to use the excuse of like, well, I got the information, but I didn't want to use it. No, really? Really? Like, he's going to throw a fastball. Don't tell me that. I want to have the dignity of knowing myself. Now, Correa, the star shortstop, and I'm saddened by this because I like these players. I was a big Correa fan. I was a big Altuve fan. I was a big Verlander fan. A lot of those players in the Astros I liked a lot. But Correa was mad that some of the Dodger players were upset. One of the Dodgers' best players was like, yeah, they stole a World Series from us. I'm mad. And Correa's told him to shut the F up. Well, if you're the one being under investigation and everything, and the one found caught cheating, you don't get to tell people to shut the F up. But the other thing is he said, look it, I don't want to talk about this anymore. This is Correa of the Astros in press up. Let's just talk about this year. I don't want to talk about this anymore. If you're the person who did the infraction, you don't get to dictate when we stop talking about it. Okay, I'm not going to get into details here, but Maddie, when like a couple of months ago, you got in trouble, and your mom and I were giving you a talking to. If in the middle of that talking to, you said, you know what, Mom, Dad, I'm done talking about this. I'm done. We've discussed it, and you know what? I've had enough. We're going to talk about something else. Did you play Sonic recently? That's what he wants to do. How would that have gone over if in the middle of that you said, like, Mom, Dad, we're done talking about this. I'm done.
That wouldn't have gone over well.
It would have gone horrifically. And there were consequences, and they would have been quadrupled. He said, here's my quadriplegic son, is what would have happened. That's not very funny, I'm sure. No, please do not. But you don't get to dictate when we stop talking about it when you're the one who did the infraction. But then the other weird thing, Altuve. There's a thing that happened. Altuve hit a home run. Now, the one good thing that happened with the Astros cheating is it prevented the Yankees from going to the World Series. I am that petty. But this year, Altuve hit a home run that sent the Astros to the World Series, beat the Yankees, the Astros went to the World Series. Now, a big thing that is common to do in celebrations when someone hits a home run is they jump on home plate, they jump up and down, they tear the shirt, literally shirt off of the player's back, and sometimes they're shirtless. And, you know, there are very few really fat guys. There tend to be, like, really muscular dudes are playing Major League Baseball, so it's not that bad. Well, when Altuve was running to home plate, he was kind of carefully guarding his shirt. Like, don't rip it, as if he's thinking about his shirt as he hit one of the most dramatic home runs in baseball history. That's why you tend to think about the care of your shirt when you know you've achieved immortality, you know. But he's like, and he was doing this, and then, you know, big celebration, everyone in Houston's going bananas. He runs into the clubhouse, changes his shirt, and comes back to the celebration to be interviewed. And he said, oh, I was kind of shy. I didn't want the shirt off. I was kind of embarrassed because, you know, when really muscular dudes are there, they tend to be embarrassed by how they look. You know, you tear my shirt off, I've got a belly and I'm hairy. Yeah, I don't want that happen. If I was built like Altuve, I'd be showing off.
Is that night?
What?
It was at night, because if it was at night, you could have said, like, I'd be cold.
Do you know what? That would have been a better excuse than what he was saying. Because at first he said, oh, my wife was kind of made fun of me the last time she saw me without a shirt, or I was kind of embarrassed. So wife embarrassed with the first two. Then a rumor came around that their new method of cheating was they had a buzzer that was attached to his shoulder. And that if they ripped his shirt off, you would see the buzzer. And then the excuse kept changing. It was, I was embarrassed. No, it was, my wife didn't want to see that. Now it was, I had a tattoo. It wasn't done yet. It was kind of bad. I didn't want people
to
see.
Wait, how would the buzzer help them?
Because if they would, it would be buzz, a bzzz, you know, if they knew it was going to be a fastball or a curveball. If he felt the buzz, then he knows it was going to be a fastball, so he could just wait on it. If he knew if it was a curveball, you know, trust me, there's a way to, if you know a fastball or a curveball is coming up, you can time it. You know, time it better.
I wouldn't know. I never hit anything.
What?
I wouldn't know. I never hit anything.
You did okay in Little League. You did okay in Little League. You couldn't get a scholarship for Cal State Fullerton, but still, you did a decent job. So, now these rumors are going on that it was a buzzer. No, it was a tattoo. A bad tattoo. He's a millionaire. Why is he going to a bad tattoo parlor? I've got hundreds of millions of dollars in the bank, but I'm going to go to this strip mall in Arcadia, and I'm just, oh, I got the wrong guy. And so then he was walking around shirtless at the clubhouse yesterday because, you know, he doesn't want to be seen without a shirt on. And he had like this simple sort of cursive tattoo, which any tattoo parlor could do. Hell, I think I could do it. And it was his daughter's name, like in script, aww, like Melanie. Yeah, exactly. Oh, why would you be embarrassed to have people to see that you have a tattoo for your daughter's name on your chest? And here's the deal. When you've already been caught lying and you keep changing your excuse for another thing, like if, let's say you guys got in trouble, like I came in and I see a plate's broken. So what happened to this plate? Oh, there was an earthquake. I mean, a dog ran in. My friend Mike used it as a frisbee.
No, aliens landed down from Neptune and started shooting lasers, and the plate breaking was the only thing that could scare them off.
Yeah, and then that's excuse number four. There's a scene in the Blues Brothers, and bless you, Lisa Swan, for reminding me of this scene and mentioning this in a different context, where Jake Blues is about to be blown away by Carrie Fisher, who's holding a machine gun to him, and he's using all these excuses of why he left her. It's like, oh, an old friend came in out of town. I had my tux didn't get back from the cleaners. Oh, my car was out of gas. There was an earthquake, a terrible flood. It wasn't my fault. I mean, that's what this sounds like. And if you've already been caught lying, why are we going to believe you? Now, this is an audio medium. My son, Maddie, just shrugged. So here's the deal. This issue could have gotten, what's the word I'm looking for? Could have been not swept under the rug, but not become the talk of spring training if they did the following. When they were caught at the end of the World Series and the investigation came in, so the Astros were indeed cheating. If everyone just came up and said, yeah, that happened. We did that back in December. Then, yeah, this would have been bad. But what gets people angrier is being lied to when you know you're being lied to by someone you already know has lied to you in the past. And you can't act incredulous, like, why don't you believe me? If you look at all the quotes from the World Series, wow, cheating. We weren't using video equipment and everything to cheat and steal signs. Wow, that's crazy talk. Our investigation shows that this happened. All right, we did it that one year, the year we won the World Series. But never again. Never again. Apparently you were using buzzers. We're looking into that. That's crazy talk. No, I'm detecting a pattern. All right, guys. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
Keep listening.
There you go. Anything you want to say to the listeners?
I once wore an Astro hat on my way to school, and now I feel ashamed.
Listen to that. You hear that, Astros? You've made my son ashamed. He had shame. What was that in Game of Thrones? Shame, shame. You watch. Which one do you watch, Game of Thrones?
I do.
All right. I'm a good father. I show my children Game of Thrones because that's a good, solid family fun. Well, hey, this was a lot of fun. We got another segment we got to do right now. And you guys can scram. You don't need to be here. Thanks for being part of the show here. Hey, we're going to be doing today's Fantasy Minute, which is brought to you by League Commish. And we're going to be talking about Manny Machado. Now, last season was a controversial season for Manny Machado, who is actually one of my favorite players in baseball. I know I'm not supposed to say that, but I am going to say it. He's one of my favorite players in all of baseball, and now he's with the San Diego Padres. And he signed that massive, massive contract, but he didn't come up the way that I'm sure Padre fans would have liked. When you take a look at the fact that he had one of his lowest home run totals in a long time. Obviously, his RBI total was terrible. The only thing he led the league in was grounding into double plays. His OPS was under 800. His OPS plus was the definition of mediocre. He did play 156 games. He remains quite a durable player, but he had kind of an uninspiring season. And some of the things you can kind of take with a grain of salt with his season is the fact that, well, first of all, he had a dreadful August and September when the Padres were fading away. He actually had a very good June and quite a good May as well. He was starting to put together a good, solid Manny Machado season before the final 2 months really made him spiral out of control. His last 28 days, he had an average of 179. His OPS was 665. Even his OPS couldn't reach the number of the beast. But moving into this season, I believe that he could have a bounce back year because he doesn't have the attention on him. He also could have a bounce back season because he does have some more bats behind him, certainly the addition of Pham. With a healthy Fernando Tatis, he might be able to bounce back in a better way. And he can't be considered one of the elite players in baseball. He just can't. And the fact that he's no longer in the American League East and playing frequently in pitcher-friendly ballparks like Petco, like Dodger Stadium, like, I almost call it AT&T Park, it's now Oracle Field or Oracle Park, whatever they play in San Francisco, I don't think you can ever expect the numbers that he had in Baltimore when he was putting up huge MVP-caliber season. But he's going to still be durable. He's still going to give you a decent amount of power. And without the attention on, with a little more protection, he will give you enough numbers if he's available in some of the mid rounds to fill in your shortstop or third base hole that you can do worse than him. At least you plug him in and you have an idea of the production you're going to get. No longer one of the elites. Don't waste one of your top picks on him. But to fill out your roster, if he's still hanging around, he'll be reliable. And this has been the Fantasy Minute, which is brought to you by League Commish. What are you doing for the game? It's a universal question. Whether the casual follower that tweets everything, the beginning, the diehard, the stat nerd, the smack talker, the appetizer guy, the couldn't care less, or the makes everything into a competition person, we all have our place in the sports world. The same personalities apply to fantasy sports, and League Commish exists to ensure your fantasy sports experience is the best one for you. We match managers to leagues as we lay the foundation for your new league. It's as easy with a sign up with your preference, get matched, and approve that match before any commitment on your end. Sign up with League Commish by February 29th and receive a 15% off discount by entering the code LOCKEDON in the referred by section on the sign up form. The first 25 to sign up using our code receive their first match free. What are you doing for the game? Find your next fantasy sports league at leaguecommish.com. All right, we're running a little late in this show here, but I do want to bring one more thing. John Henry. Remember him? He owns the Red Sox. I'm not happy with him. He wrote a big, long, open letter to Red Sox fans basically saying, yeah, I get it. You love Mookie. We love Mookie. We all love Mookie. Old Mook Mookie had a Mook. We all love Mookie. And he brought up, oh, I grew up a St. Louis Cardinal fan. I grew up loving Stan Musial. And if Stan Musial would have been traded away, would have been awful. And we get it. But he went on. He was trying to say all the right things, like players in Stan Musial's era didn't have the right to play for their market value, and he said, and that was a good thing, as if he wouldn't ask a genie for the reserve clause to be brought back. But we understand that Mookie has the right to go to the highest bidder in ways that Stan never could. And we understand that Red Sox fans are sad to see him go. But he made the point, like, hey, we had a similar moment where we had to trade away Nomar Garciaparra. And we also dealt away Manny Ramirez and Kevin Youkilis. And we said goodbye to players like Johnny Damon and Pedro Martinez. And we've always bounced back. And we're going to put together the best feeling, blah, 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 blah. On the surface, he said all the right things. There's a couple of things that were a smidge disingenuous for your pal Sully. First of all, to equate the Nomar situation and the Mookie situation, on the surface sounds like it's a good comparison. Because remember, in 2003, Nomar Garciaparra looked like he was on the verge of winning the American League Most Valuable Player. He happened to slump in September and Alex Rodriguez wound up winning it. But if Nomar had won the MVP that year, I don't think anyone would have blinked. But there was an element that we have to remember. Yes, the Red Sox offered him a big hold contract, but the Red Sox also tried to trade him. That offseason, after 2003, they tried to pull off the mega deal that would send Manny Ramirez to the Rangers, Nomar Garciaparra to the White Sox, Magly Ordóñez and A-Rod would go back to the Red Sox. That was going to be the deal of the century, and there were other minor leaguers and money passed around. The league voided the deal. And so Nomar came into spring training knowing that he was about to be shipped off. And I'm sure he was like, well, to hell with this. I'm going to test free agency. If they're going to push me out the door, why am I going to give this team the hometown discount? Especially to trade him away to a White Sox team that wasn't quite ready to win. They would win the World Series in 2005, but that's a different story. The other thing that was different was, so the water was already polluted with Nomar, but the other main thing was, everyone knew that 2004 was World Series or bust for the Red Sox. And Nomar was hurt. Nomar was not playing every day. Even when he was off the disabled list, they had to give him a bunch of days off. He was hurt. And that was the main reason for the trade. Not the salary dump, but they said, look it, we can't count on Nomar on a day-to-day basis. A healthy Nomar, they would have absolutely used and let him ride off in the sunset as a free agent like they did with Pedro Martinez. But he was hurt. He was only playing every other game. And they said, you know what? We need to make a deal for an everyday shortstop. We need to be able to put in a shortstop who's there all the time. And they need to shore up their defense. So they acquired Orlando Cabrera, who was one of the best defensive shortstops in the league at that time. And they also brought in Doug Benkevich, who was a quality defensive first baseman, and that allowed them to really, really trust their infield defense. And that played a big, you know, Cabrera was there every day. They didn't have to worry about days on, days off, or whatnot. Mookie wasn't that. Mookie was playing every day. There was no injuries issue where we're like, oh, God, we got to bench Mookie today. Mookie only played 3 or 4 games a week now. That wasn't the case with him. And at no point in the letter to the fans that was sent off by John Henry did they cover the fact that the Red Sox can print money. They are loaded. They have so much money. Their money has money. They can afford Mookie Betts. This is not an instance like he tried to bring up Jacoby Ellsbury, who, when he was with the Red Sox, homegrown all-star, MVP candidate, but also constantly injured. If you're going to sign someone to a long-term deal who's constantly injured, that's not necessarily about the money. That's saying we're committing time to someone who we're going to have to fill their spot with someone else anyway. That wasn't the case with Mookie Betts. That wasn't the case, you know, in Johnny Damon and Pedro Martinez were clearly on the wrong ends of their career. And they said, you know what? We're not going to pay for your declining years. Mookie Betts has a few more years before we start talking about the declining years. And the Red Sox have the money to pay for that. And they just chose not to. Nothing to do with luxury tax. They can afford the luxury tax. Nothing to do with financial flexibility. They don't have to worry about that. They just chose not to. And that's their prerogative, if that's the way they do business. But it's my prerogative to say, I think it stinks. And that letter, while good intention and a little bit of PR, how do we save our butts, I don't think he answered the main question, which is, why didn't you just sign him? You had the money to do it. Just sign him. You know how Cardinal fans, their hearts would have been broken if Mike Trout played elsewhere? Angel fans don't have to worry about that with Mike Trout. Reds fans don't have to worry about that with Joey Votto. And I guarantee you, Yankee fans won't have to worry about that with Aaron Judge when the time comes. If he is still an elite player and the free agency is coming up, the Yankees will pony up and Aaron Judge will be a Yankee for life. Now, whether or not Mookie Betts signs with the Dodgers, or if I were him, I would try to have the best year possible in Los Angeles and go out there and see what you can get. And if he is a free agent and the Red Sox pony up the money, he'll return to the Red Sox if they offer him the most money. And if this whole resetting the clock is so precious to them, I would really do that. But they're not getting any discount. Not they're getting a discount before, but why should he give him a discount? If you know someone has billions of dollars, why would you cut them a deal? So, nice try, John Henry. Still not buying it. But I hope you're buying this podcast that was guest hosted by my kids. We went a little long today, but there's a lot of topics to discuss. Listen to us on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app or all the places where you get podcasts. This has been a jam-packed Locked On MLB for the 18th day of February 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, nothing else happen. Please, I need to just post this podcast and you can call me Sully.